abierto de lunes a jueves. You
the Safari Park. You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry, get into bed now.
Hey, is there no sweeter sound than that of your own name? Buried in cheers and applause. I think not. Hey, welcome to our holiday show. The first, the best, the only... What is this?
Happy holiday.
Yes.
Happy holiday.
Yes, it will
while
be.
While the merry bells...
Oh, you know, I kind of get that, because holidays, you know, it's when stroke, suicide, embolism, aneurysm, disappointments, fistfights, stabbings, murders, and mayhem are most likely to occur. And that's just on Black Friday. Wait until the in-laws arrive. Hey, where do we begin? I don't know. We got a lot of ground to cover in this show, from Thanksgiving to New Year's, and all the horseshit and misery this time of year. We'll incorporate the 5 worst Christmas songs of all time and include a brand new carol. It's an assisted suicide for Charlie Brown. Christmas used to be this beautiful thing. Mangers and a fat little baby and virgin mothers and stables and a road trip on a donkey with lambs and camels and an immense star in the night sky and 3 wise guys with these kick-ass brocade Liberace robes and headgear and gold and frankincense and myrrh, whatever that stuff was. And then there's the pagan influence, right? The Christmas trees. There were no Christmas trees in Bethlehem, but there were millions in the Black Forest where those Germanic tribes in BC times were smart enough to figure out that December 22 was the shortest day of the year. So they'd go rope off a few thousand acres of coniferous forest and torch it in an attempt to warm up the sun so it wouldn't go cold. And it worked! And so those missionaries kind of co-opted the tree thing, which was kind of close to December 25 anyway. And Santa Claus, right? Santa Claus, St. Nicholas, he was a 4th century Turk. That's right, he was from then Asia Minor. And over the years, he morphed into this fat little jolly man who winked and smoked a pipe. Well, they've banned the pipe now, haven't they? And that winky, well, that's a sexual microaggression. And any day now, some politically correct shithead will no doubt unveil a 21st century slimline Santa, because fat Santa's just too unhealthy. And the reindeer, oh, when will PETA and the animal cruelty folks weigh in? Rudolph had a raging case of rosacea. Why wasn't it treated? We'll circle back to Christmas in a little bit, but let's take a fast look at Thanksgiving. And by the way, which accent, depending on where you live in the country, right? Some people say Thanksgiving, and others say Thanksgiving. Which is it? Oh, it matters not. But this holiday, Thanksgiving, has been marginalized like no other. It's the only one truly American holiday. You know, 4th of July, well, yeah, but it's a lot like Bastille Day, and lots of other nations have their versions of Independence Days and Veterans Days and President's Days and all that, but only America had Thanksgiving, and somehow they've managed to fuck that up, haven't they? Black Friday is appropriately named because it is the darkest day on the American calendar. In other countries, starving crowds riot and kill for a cup of soup. In America, we kill each other for a 55-inch Sony. And how about that Thanksgiving parade with Savannah, right, and Matt and Al? What went wrong there, right? Now it's an endless commercial for Broadway shows, right, from kinky boots and hairspray and who knows what. I mean, anyone out there know any 6-year-olds that are Broadway show freaks? I don't. Who the hell are they talking to? And where are the pilgrims? Where are the pilgrims? And where are the Algonquins and the Iroquois or whatever tribes were there? If they want to be so inclusive, they leave out the very characters that made Thanksgiving possible, Squanto and the pilgrims. Then there's the location for the Thanksgiving dinner. Oh, God, isn't that a conundrum? Where do you dine? Do you dine at home or with your wife's family? And if you stay at home, whom do you invite? And the women, they'll always say, what can I bring? Right? Don't you get this? What can I bring? And you want to scream, please, anything but your puke-inducing pumpkin pie. Leave that home. You want to bring something? Bring $50. If just a handful of guests do, the meal is a financial wash. If everybody does, well, now you've got something to be thankful for. You know those baskets full of fruit and nuts shaped like a steer horn you see on Martha Stewart's table and nowhere else? Yeah, they're called a cornucopia. How about, just like with the street performers, you leave 50 just inside the that little basket as kind of a primer, an idea giver. And then, just before grace, when everybody's holding hands with their heads bowed, you scream, ante up, people! If they don't get the idea, you pick up the cornucopia and pass it around the table. But nobody really gives a shit about Thanksgiving anymore, do they? It's been completely overshadowed by the Black Friday nonsense. And you know what? That sucks. And why? Why are these holidays from Thanksgiving to New Year's when people are most likely to slit their wrists? Who's to blame? Well, probably Target, Macy's, and Lexus, and Mercedes, and Hallmark, and Madison Avenue, right? They concoct these images of holiday perfection that no one, even with limitless money and mendicants to do your bidding, could not possibly ever achieve. And when that perfection is not met, even to some level, what happens? Well, you get cognitive dissonance, right? That creepy, shitty feeling that you or your automobile or domicile or cell phone or sunglasses or girlfriend or wife or penis somehow does not measure up. That you and or your stuff aren't they one and the same? Aren't we what we consume and collect? Isn't that asshole in the Bentley actually better than the dude pushing his home down the street in a shopping cart? It's all designed to make you feel inadequate unless you buy something. Now, we hear the term cognitive dissonance quite a lot, but do we ever hat tip to the man who coined it? His name was Leon Festinger. How could a guy with that name not spend his life investigating feelings of inadequacy? He was a shrink, of course, and some Don Draper types glommed on to Leon's findings and never let go, which is why, even in this allegedly enlightened age, we'll see hundreds of morons camped out in pup tents so they can get the new slave labor-assembled iPhone. And now, you got to contend with another conundrum. Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays? What's the proper phrasing? Which do you say? You know, many times in my life, people have assumed I'm Jewish, and I've been wished Happy Hanukkah. And not once, not even was I the least bit offended. You know, why would anybody be offended to be mistaken for one of the people that have created more vaccines and cures for diseases, not to mention the finest entertainment and the best Christmas and corned beef, the best Christmas songs ever written, written by Irving Berlin. And likewise, I don't understand why anyone would be offended by being wished a Merry Christmas, right? It's not a curse. It's a friendly greeting, a phrase wishing you goodwill. But no, some will be offended. Ergo, we have the all-inclusive, now utterly meaningless, inoffensive, Happy Holidays, which means nothing to anyone. So this Christmas, why don't we all just say, eat shit? That way everybody's equally offended. You can say it at the office, at school, at the supermarket. Don't forget your change, eat shit. And then there's the never-ending Starbucks cup controversy. Really, who gives a shit what they put on the cup? It's a ripoff. It's Dunkin' Donuts coffee is way, way better and cheaper. And you're not going to get some asshat barista trying to engage you in political discourse at the command of Howie Schultz, the dipshit Starbucks CEO. And then there's the Christmas card. Oh, God, another mess. Do you buy some stock crap at at Target or the 99-cent store and just fling them out there? Or do you go do a custom job? Is it an e-card or paper? When my kids are really young, I would shoot these elaborate custom cards featuring them, which, by the way, did offend. One was actually returned by some crank with the comment, "What do your kids have to do with my Christmas?" I had to agree. He had a point. Of course, Grandma wants to see a picture of the kids. Well, some grandmas do. Does your fishing buddy really give a shit about your kids? He doesn't. He really doesn't. And then there's those Christmas letters. And thankfully, they seem to be on the wane. They were raging a few years back. The ones, you know, always written by the wife. They're 3 pages long and a study in doublespeak and bullshit. And the couple's name, the people that send them, they're never sent by folks named Linda and Joe. No, it's always Tiffany and Tristan or Casey and Brad. And Casey's just frothing at the keyboard to tell you how great her life is. It starts with an update on Brad's newest career move, which is invariably a way to camouflage the fact that he's been canned. Look for all those telltale phrases like new horizons and new opportunities, exploring new opportunities. And e-cards. Are they even cards? Nothing says, "I don't give a shit," like a greeting card delivered via mouse click. And then there's this Shutterfly crap. Why do people always have their Shutterfly reproduced Christmas card snapshot done on some sandy tropical beach, right? Or maybe in front of the Eiffel Tower. We know you don't give a shit about Christmas. You just want to gloat about your fucking vacation. You're not fooling anyone. And Shutterfly, okay, Shutterfly, those cheesy templates with a sprig of holly or a shiny Christmas ball and that hokey cursive Fiesta font, they really look like the amateur crap that they are. And then you get those cards sometimes from the We're So Hip folks, right? Those yutzes. We got one a few years back from Mom, Dad, and the two kids. They were sitting on a toboggan, each one with their legs scissoring the one in front, buck-ass naked. I thought it was a greeting card from NAMBLA. I just got a greeting card from my insurance company. Yeah, it made me feel so necessary. And how about that company party, the holiday party? That's a minefield. Whose table are you seated at? The CEO's? Or are you in the kitchen with the wait staff? Did everybody get a bonus but you? These things, if you can, try to avoid them. And then the Christmas gift thing. Oh, can we please just stop it? For kids, sure, it's wonderful. But for adults, it's a recipe for resentment, disappointment, and hassles. Why can't everybody just buy themselves their own stuff? We'll save time and money and gasoline and scotch tape and wrapping paper. Is that not a win-win-win-win-win? And for the single people, no boyfriend, no girlfriend, how shitty do you feel? Every goddamn day for weeks, it's like prom night and no date. TV and online, right? And a relentless assault of grinning, joyous, misty-eyed couples in love, slipping bows off of gleaming automobiles and diamond rings onto fingers at Christmas. Oh, single people are made to feel like a turd in a punch bowl. They really are. And if you are in a relationship, Christmas is like, it's a Rubicon, right? It's a deadline. You've been seeing some chicks since, I don't know, Valentine's Day, and now it's Christmas, and she and probably her family they're starting to wonder, what's this guy doing? What are his intentions, right? Every girl has a freshness date. It's time for the C word, commitment. She's expecting the good small thing, that 1, 2, or 3 carat rock in a box. You must be engaged by Christmas. And if you don't deliver, pal, you're in for a shitstorm before New Year's. In fact, odds are you'll be spending New Year's solamente. And for the married, oh, you get pummeled by wife's retrospectoscope, don't you? When she starts making comparisons to previous Christmases, they're never favorable. You can't win. You won't win. And Christmas dinner, it's Thanksgiving redux, but the stakes are so much higher. Do it at your home or her parents, or yours, or someplace in between, and some fool always has to serve eggnog. Eggnog, the most noxious filth imaginable. Eggnog could gag a maggot, make a pig puke. Hey, here's a fix. How about slicing off a hunk of that fruitcake and dunking it in the eggnog? That should trigger some projectile vomiting. And what's the soundtrack for all this merriment? Christmas carols and songs. We have compiled the definitive list of the 5 worst Christmas songs of all time. If you've got some to add, lay them on me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com or sing them to us live. Just dial 302-71-LARRY. We'll play them next time around. And now, kicking off that list at number 5, a song frequently misidentified by the erroneous title, And So This Is Christmas. That's not the title. It's actually called Happy Xmas, parentheses, War Is Over, recorded in 1972 by John and Yoko Lennon. Or I should say John Lennon and Yoko Ono. The title alone is kind of a red flag. If you can't name a song in a single phrase, maybe you shouldn't release it. At that time, the Vietnam War was still raging, and John thought it would be a good idea to take out a bunch of billboards around Manhattan with the phrase, War is over if you want it. It was a noble sentiment. However, the North Vietnamese Army and the Viet Cong, they never made it over there to Manhattan. They didn't see it, so it went on for quite a bit longer. It's a very depressing song. One listen to this, you just want to suck in the business end of a Remington 870. And John, he was an oddball, even among the Beatles. He loved to throw big parties, invite frenemies, and piss into their cocktails before he served them. Another layer of weirdness on this song, it was produced by Phil Spector, who you may recall is now doing time for blowing the head off of a girlfriend at his mansion. It's a very odd song, so let's take it apart.
Happy Christmas, Kelco.
Happy Christmas, Julie.
So this is Christmas. What have you done?
Okay, so that whispered beginning, Happy Christmas, Kyoko, Happy Christmas, Julian, is of course John and Yoko whispering to their kids, which sort of harkens back to my kid Christmas card. At least I was sending mine to people I sort of know, but John, what do your kids have to do with our Christmas? And then his next line is just a finger pointed in your face with an accusation.
And what have you done?
What have I done? What have I done? I don't owe you any answers. I know what you've done. You broke up the Beatles with your creepy wife. And so the song continues on for another, 2.5-3 minutes. John, he wrote some pretty good songs in his career. This wasn't one of them. In the ultimate crutch for the songwriter who's just out of creative gas, when you are bereft of songcraft, what do? You stack it with a kiddie choir. And when you don't know how to end it, have a cheer, an applause, and a fade. Okay, we get it. Happy Christmas, yes. Now, I want you to use your imagination. You've been imprisoned, held captive in a hellhole North Korean jail cell for God knows how long. And somehow you've managed to ascertain that today is Christmas Day. Maybe you've heard some carols just wafting across the wind or something like that. And your guard comes to your cell and pushes through the food hole. Instead of a usual bowl of maggoty rice, there is a rather appealing-looking steaming stew piled high with something you haven't had in maybe years. Meat. Meat. And you notice when the guard gives you this meal, he has kind of a creepy smirk on his face. And just as you bite into that first chunk of meat, barking dog jingle bells. If dogs were meant to sing, they'd have blue suede shoes and razor-cut suits, wouldn't they? Yeah. At number 4 on our worst Christmas songs of all time, this. All right, that's enough of that. Most of us have heard that Jingle Bells Barking Dog song before, haven't we? Probably not while eating some mystery meat in a North Korean prison. But this next one is much more obscure. I don't know if you've heard this before. Have a listen. Feline Silent Night. You can't beat that with a dead cat. I just flashed on a thought. How cool would it be to hack into the Vatican PA system and blast this across St. Peter's Square this Christmas Eve? Now, question. Dogs are pretty easygoing animals, easy to train. I can sort of figure out how they did that that jingle bell barking dog thing. But cats, that's another walk entirely. They just don't do what you want them to do the way dogs do. And I've uncovered an amazing backstory to how this Silent Night kitty cat theme was recorded. They brought in an engineer from Abu Ghraib who knew the magical correlation between applied voltage and extraordinary top notes. In the number two position on our worst Christmas songs of all time, another Beatle, Sir Paul McCartney, with, again, a song that just couldn't figure out what its title should be. It was A Wonderful Christmas, parenthetically, all the best. Which is it, Paul? Now, this says a black and white video shot like low-grade amateur porn circa 1973 with weird disembodied choir boys wearing sunglasses in space. Paul's hairstyle was lifted directly from Malcolm McDowell in Clockwork Orange. In fact, he even wears the same bowler hat. He manages to work his white Rolls Royce into the picture, just in case you have any doubt that he's a Beatle. This video and song is so hideous, ISIS could use it as a recruitment device. One view, and you want to renounce Christianity. It's that bad. This deserves to be number two. Listen.
The choir of children sing their song.
Yes, ding dong, ding dong. Get out of the studio, ding dong. All right, goodbye. So, which brings us to number one. The number one most odious, depressing, bent, sick Christmas song ever recorded is Charlie Brown's Christmas song. And you have to kind of listen to this in context because the first time I heard it, and most of you, is one of those hideous cartoon Charlie Brown Christmas specials. And so I'm going to give you sort of a lead-in of the song and Charlie's dialogue. And then I'm going to stage an intervention. That's right, Dr. Larry to the rescue.
I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel.
Oh, Charlie, that's terrible.
I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy.
Oh.
I always end up feeling depressed.
Oh, Charlie, listen. I've got a way to make this all better. Let's go get you in a warm tub and let me sing you a little song. Christmas time is filled with pain. It never snows, it only rains. You never got those electric trains that Santa promised you. You're only 8 and filled with hate. An outcast no one likes. Snoopy's dead, so let's move ahead. It's time to end your life. You wear the same Crayola shirt. Each day is just the same. You're nearly bald and melon-shaped. You've never won a game. Here's a fistful of Nembutal. Just take them one by one. Soon you'll find you're somewhere else. It's less messy than a gun. No more Lucy, no more school. no more gloomy days. Put your head back and close your eyes and fade into the haze. Good night, Charlie. Goodbye. Goodbye now. Bye. Yeah, that's it. Goodbye. We had enough of you, Charlie. I never liked you. In fact, no one ever liked you. You're in a better place. And so when it's all over, when the wrapping paper is in the recycle bin and you're wishing everything you were given included a gift receipt, when your girlfriend's dumped you because you didn't commit, when your wife is filing papers because you tried to drown her mother in a punch bowl, then what? What is there to look forward to? Oh, the holidays are over, thank God. Wait, what's this? What's this shit? I don't want to hear this. Turn this off. I'm warning you. Stop. Never brought to mind. Oh, that's better. Yeah, I almost forgot. The most heinous holiday of all. Just because some creepy Pope Gregory, who had a nose that could cut linoleum, stuck his bony finger on a calendar and said, "This one." It's the end of one year and the start of another? I don't think so. And we're supposed to look back and evaluate ourselves and what we've accomplished. Really. And make resolutions. You know, a friend of mine once resolved to stop pulling marble-sized boogers out of his nose, rolling them until they were the consistency of Play-Doh, and flicking them onto his ceiling. A year later, his ceiling looked like the Luray Caverns. New Year's resolutions are garbage. And the news reports around December 30, nothing but recaps of everyone who croaked that year. We know David Bowie died. We know Prince and Merle Haggard and Dr. John and China tapped out also. Do we need to be reminded? No, so shut up. And the most idiotic night of all year is New Year's Eve. Amateur night for every jackhole who can't hold his liquor. For years now, I've been ignoring it. Do you really need to watch Ryan Seacrest try to be Dick Clark again on that crappy balcony overlooking a proven portal of hell, Times Square? No. And it's got to be the wildest, the craziest, the best night of the whole year. And at the stroke of midnight, if you don't have a lip lock on a supermodel with a handful of her ass, you failed. That's right, you're a failure, and your life is over. Well, maybe not quite. Things do end, and so does this show. So I'm going to close with something I heard a long time ago. It was written by an 8th grade dropout who went on to become one of the most successful authors of his time. His name was Jim Bishop, and he had perhaps the most clear vision of Christmas anyone has ever articulated. This is what Jim wrote. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant teen who knew not man. He grew up in another obscure village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was a preacher. He never married or owned a home. He never held a job, yet paid taxes. He never set foot inside a metropolis. He never traveled 200 miles from the place he was born. He never wrote a book or held an office. He did none of the things that usually accompany greatness. He received no awards, no medals, no prizes from his peers. While he was still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends deserted him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He had no lawyers, no friendly juries, no fair hearing. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had, his cloak. After he died, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed grave. Those who stood watch could not explain his disappearance. And yet, 2,000 years have come and gone, and today, he is still the central figure for much of the human race. All the armies that ever marched, and all the navies that have ever sailed, and all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as this one solitary life. Merry Christmas, everybody.